last couple of days, we've been discussing some details about the bracha of Birchas HaGomel. Today, we're going to continue on that theme and discuss three general scenarios that come up quite often. The first one we're going to talk about is a woman who gives birth. Is she supposed to recite a Birchas HaGomel or not? The second case we're going to talk about is whether a child who goes through one of those experiences is supposed to recite a Birchas HaGomel. And finally, what if you have somebody who's not any longer a child? He's over bar or bas mitzvah, 12 or 13 years old, but the person is not yet at the age of 20. Would that also factor into this discussion, as we will see in a few minutes? So let's begin with the first case that we mentioned, and that is a yoledes, a woman who gives birth. There are conflicting views about what the minhag Yerushalayim is. That Tzitz Eliezer quotes that some communities in Yerushalayim have the practice that they do have the yoledes make the bracha. Some communities have the practice that they don't have the yoledes make the bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, a yoledes who gives birth should not recite a bracha, because after all, he says, the bracha, as we said yesterday, has to be recited in front of 10 people, in front of a minyan. And he said, that's not respectful, that's not tznius, to have the woman recite the bracha in the presence of a minyan. So nowadays, women show up to shul all the time. Women speak to men. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. But in our communities, this would not be a breach of tznius at all. It would not be a breach of a woman's role at all for her to recite a bracha. And therefore, that reason of the Mishnah Berurah probably, my father has told me, is not so applicable in this discussion. And one of the contemporary Achronim who tries to justify why it is that in many communities a woman does not recite a bracha when she gives birth, one of those is the Har Tzvi. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in a tshuva that women don't give birth. You know why? Because part of the bracha that we say is Hagomel L'chayavim Tovos. You say, I should have had my life taken by this experience, and I was saved. I didn't have any problem in the experience that I went through. So Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank says, the understanding of that bracha is that we know the Gemara says, Ein Yisurin Belochet. There's no such thing. The premise is that there's no such thing as a punishment that comes to a person unless it's considered to be a penalty for something that they did wrong. So the woman, when she has a baby, that's not an ailment. That's not an illness. That's the natural course of life. You can't say that she's having a baby because she did something wrong. What do you mean? That's the greatest thing in the world, to have a child. So how can I go ahead and have the response after having a child, Hagomel Chayavim Tovos? Really, I went through a terrible experience. I had an illness by having a child, and therefore I'm thankful to you for having me come out of that experience alive, when really I should have lost my life. What kind of response is that? That's not an illness at all. We don't assume that that's Yisurim. We don't assume that that's something that you're punished for. And therefore, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank says, maybe that's why some communities have the practice that the women, after giving birth, do not recite a Birchas HaGomel. And Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach finds that very troubling, because he says, for example, the Gemara says, somebody who goes on a boat, somebody who travels overseas, is supposed to recite a bracha when they return back home intact. So says Reb Shlomo Zalman, would you argue that somebody who's on their way to do a Dvar Mitzvah, if somebody's going on the boat to go perform the Mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim, or they're going on the boat to do some other very important Mitzvah, would you say that they should not recite a Birchas HaGomel? Would you say that? Of course not. Why? Because HaGomel Chayavim Tovos does not necessarily mean from this time. It doesn't mean that I did something wrong to deserve this. It just means, in general, I have a big account with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I have a lot to figure out with him. He has a lot to figure out with me. And therefore, you can't say that a woman should be knocked out for having a baby just because the Yisurim is not what caused her pain at the time of the birth. So that's where Shlomo Zalman feels that that is also unacceptable. It's worth mentioning that even if you live in those communities where they have the practice that a woman does not recite Birchas HaGomel, the Shari Ephraim, which is a halacha sefer on Ilchas Kriyas HaTorah, points out that nevertheless it's proper for the woman, before going about her daily business, before going out of the house after having a baby and doing all the shopping and the normal things that a woman would do, or going to work or whatever it is, so says the Shari Ephraim, the woman should go to shul and hear Baruch Es Hashem HaMavarach, or she should have her husband have an aliyah and she should listen to it, because at least she should express some sort of gratitude before going on with her life. She should take a moment to recognize the fact that she owes a lot of thanksgiving to the Ribbono Shel Olam for the experience that she had. I asked my father, when my wife gave birth all three times, I asked her what his feeling was with regard to the bracha of Birchas HaGomel for a yoledes. So he said, number one, he doesn't think that there's any breach of tznius at all for a woman to make a Birchas HaGomel. Certainly if you do it in the house and you have a minyan there, there's certainly not a problem at all. But he said that if a woman had a natural, usual birth with nothing unusual about what took her, was of the opinion, and that's what that's the practice that we followed. The next question that we're going to discuss is one that is mentioned by one of the German Rishonim. One of the German Rishonim in the 1400s was the Maharam Mintz, and the Maharam Mintz is quoted in the Magen Avraham as discussing what happens when a katan goes through one of these experiences. Is a young child supposed to go ahead and recite a Berachas Hagoma when he or she went through one of these difficult experiences. So take, for example, last week we had someone in the shul who had a young child, 2 years old, who had very serious respiratory issues and was in the hospital for a couple of days, not only being monitored, but really being helped. So the question was, should they recite a Berachas Hagomel when the child comes out? So number one, the Magen Avraham quotes in the Maharam Mintz that when you have a young child under Bar Bas Mitzvah who goes through, let's say, that experience of being very sick, even if it's a very serious illness that may have taken their lives, it doesn't make sense to say the bracha of Hagomel L'chayavim Tovos. This child is not a chayav. This child is not held accountable. He's not liable. He's not answerable for the averis that he or she has done. And therefore we assume the whole bracha is not applicable to them. That's what the Maharam Mintz says. So maybe you'll say, says the Maharam Mintz, that the reason why the child is being punished is because of an avera that the parent did. So maybe the child should say, Hagomel L'chayavim Tovos. Really, my parents are the ones who did something wrong. And therefore I'm happy that you saved me from the terrible thing that my parents did that should have taken my life. Says the Maharam Mintz, that's an awful kind of statement for a child to say. My father or mother is a terrible Rasha, and really I deserve to lose my life over the fact that they have done all the activities that they've done in their life, and therefore the child shouldn't say that either. Says the Maharam Mintz, it's not respectful for the child to say it, and it doesn't make sense for the child to say it about themselves, because they actually are not a chayiv. They are not held accountable for their activities, for their deeds. Then says the Maharam Mintz, what about saying the bracha and just leaving out the word l'chayavim? Why don't you just say hagomel tovos? Why don't you say I thank the Ribono Shel Olam for giving me a wonderful thing, a wonderful experience? So says the Maharam Mintz, that's also unacceptable. Why? Because that's mishana mimatbea shetav chacham. That's changing the text of the bracha from the way it was instituted, and that's something you're not allowed to do. So therefore, he says a child does not recite a berachas hagomel, and for that matter, he says a parent shouldn't recite it for the child either. Parents shouldn't recite it for the child either. When a child goes through one of those experiences, even if it's a life-threatening illness, it's a life-threatening experience, the child should still not recite a Berachas Hagomel. Now the Aderes picks up on that one point. The Aderes mentions that you're saying that's called Mishana Mimatveya Shetav Chachamim. The Chachamim instituted a bracha that says Hagomel L'Chayavim Tovos. You mean to tell me if you take out the word Chayavim, you're being Mishana? Don't we know the Gemara says in Brachos that if somebody walks into my house, and I have the obligation to say Berachas Hagomel, and it's a very close friend of mine walks in and he says, Baruch Hashem, I'm so happy that you're healthy now, and now you're not in the hospital anymore, and everything's well, and you came out of that experience alive. The Gemara says, I'm Yotze the Bracha Berachas Hagomel. I don't have to go ahead and say it again. So ask the Aderes, if the Gemara says, if somebody else shows up into my house and says their own text of a bracha that they made up arbitrarily, it just happens to be in the course of conversation, they're thanking God for the experience of seeing me healthy again and not being bedridden anymore. If the Gemara says that's good enough, so how can you say over here that a child who leaves out one word, l'chayavim, you're going to tell me that's mishanami matveya shetav chacham, it doesn't work? So the Aderes finds this very problematic. I asked it to my father this morning what he thought of the Aderes' question. So he said, no, that Gemara is talking about b'di'evid. If somebody walked into my house and says that, the Gemara says, well, b'di'evid, you have fulfilled your obligation of birchas hagomel, therefore you can no longer say it. This, over here, we're talking about l'chatchila. What should I do? Should a bracha be recited or not? We're not going to tell you l'chatchila to go ahead and change the nusach ha-bracha. So my father thought that this was the practice that should be followed, that a young child should not recite the Berachas Hagomel, and the parent should not recite it for them either. So now we move to the third scenario, and that is, what about if you have a person who is not any longer a child? They're above Bar Bas Mitzvah. However, they are not yet 20 years old. So you'll say, what difference does that make? So the difference that it makes is the following. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis, writes very clearly that Bezdin Shalmala, in heaven, a person doesn't get punished until they're 20 years old. That's what the Gemara writes in Maseches Shabbos. This is what the Rambam reiterates in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Maseches Sanhedrin, that a child is not held accountable bidei Shamayim until they are 20 years old. So the Mefarshim already asked, the Chacham Tzvi has the Kasha, and many other Gedoli Achronim have the Kasha, if it's true that a child does not have any accountability bidei shamayim less than 20 years old. So the Mefarshim ask a very simple question. You're going to tell me that a child over 13 has to keep to the Torah mitzvahs because now you're a Bar Chayuva, which means if I'm Mechal Shabbos, I have to go ahead and bring a Karban Chatos. How can you tell me I have to bring a Karban Chatos once I'm Bar Bas Mitzvah? Don't you know that the halacha is the only time you bring a Karban Chatos is when you violate something that otherwise, had you done it b'mezid, you would have gotten karis. And now, since I did it b'shogeg, I only have to bring a Karban Chatos. So how can you tell me a 15-year-old child who's Mechal Shabbos, who texts on his phone on Shabbos, has to bring a Karban Chatos? Why does he have to bring it? If he wouldn't be held accountable with Kares, then it means he also shouldn't be held accountable to have to bring a Karban Chatos. So this is a question that all the Achronim deal with, and they're very bothered. How do you explain this Gemara? So the Chasam Sofer writes, well, maybe it just means that when you have a misa bidei shamayim, a child is not held accountable. But obviously, they're held accountable for anything else. Now, how do you draw the line? What's considered bidei shamayim? What's not considered bidei shamayim? I would have said anything that happens to a person is bidei shamayim. Just as an example, the Kli Chemda and his friends and his generation, who all thought in that kind of style, had a discussion about when you have a woman who comes to the Beis Hamikdash and you do the Mei Sota, you give a woman who there are questions about whether or not she was faithful in her marriage, so the Gemara says you have to go through the whole process and give her what to drink, and maybe she's going to lose her life. So you have to go through all the steps of the process, and if all those steps are followed, so then she's going to lose her life in the end if she, in fact, was unfaithful to her husband. So the Kli Chemda wants to know, what if I have a 15-year-old woman who's married, and her husband is suspicious of the fact maybe she was mezana, maybe she did something she shouldn't have done, brings her to the Beis Hamikdash. Should we go ahead and go through the whole process of the Mei Sota? Does that make sense for her? Or would you say, what do you mean? She's not held accountable. She's less than 20 years old, and you're not chayv misa bidei shamayim. So he goes into a discussion. Is that called misa bidei shamayim? We're giving her the thing to drink. But after all, we're not the ones who are killing her. It's the Ribono Shel Olam who's kicking in. We just give her the water to drink. We do our part, but then what happens afterward is obviously God's hand. That's not our hand being involved. So again, how do you draw the line between what's considered to be misa bidei shamayim and what's not is not simple at all. But says the Chasam Sofer, either way, many Achronim argue that this whole Gemara, when you say that a katan less than 20 years old is not held accountable, is not going to be punished bidei shamayim, many Achronim argue that's divrei agada and ein lemeidim min ha'agadas. That's not accepted lahalacha. We don't assume that way at all. And therefore, the Prima Gadim writes here that even though a child under bar mitzvah would not recite Pirchas HaGomel because he can't say l'chayavim tovos, I'm not held responsible, I'm not accountable younger than bar mitzvah. However, when you have someone who's 13 or 12 until 20, we don't assume that the Gemara is accepted l'halacha, and therefore the Prima Gadim writes that a bracha would be recited HaGomel l'chayavim tovos as any other adult would say. Let's just close with the following insight, and that is based on the Gemara that we started with. The Gemara, when discussing the bracha of Birchas HaGomel, says that when you have someone who Arba Tzrichim Lahodos, it says there are four people who are obligated to say a Birchas HaGomel. As we said, the four different scenarios that require a person to make that bracha. So one can wonder, why is it that the Gemara writes here Arba Tzrichim Lahodos? It's the wrong use of a word. Normally you would say Arba Chayavim Lahodos. There are four people who are Chayiv, Al Pidin, you're obligated. Shulchan Aruch says you have to. So what does it mean, Tzarech? Tzarech sounds like you have to for yourself. Chayiv sounds like they imposed on you that you have to say it from an outside source. So why does the Gemara choose to use the terminology Arba Tzrichim Lahodos in the place of Arba Chayavim Lahodos? So perhaps the explanation can be given as follows. There's a beautiful insight made by the Dubna Magid. Dubna Magid tries to explain. Dubna Magid was one of the contemporaries of the Vilna Gaon in the late 1700s. So the Dubna Magid writes such a beautiful comment, so insightful. We say in Halal Hodul Hashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasdo. Says the Dubna Magid, what exactly does that phrase mean? So he suggests the following, such a profound insight. He says, sometimes you have a person, you have two members of a community who don't have a lot of money, who don't have a good parnasa, who need money for an essential need that they have in their lives. So they go to the wealthy man and they ask him, would you mind lending us money? He says, sure, of course he would be happy to. I'm giving you 6 months. He gives them a date when he wants them to pay him back. Sure, everything's fine. Or for that matter, says the Dubna Magid, sometimes you have people who have essential needs, but they don't have money to go to the supermarket to buy it. So the chenveni gives them bahakafa. The owner of the store says, you can have an account with me, but I want you to pay back by a certain date. You could pay in installments, whatever it is. But he gives them a date when they have to pay back. Says the Dubna Magid, there are two different people. When the date comes to pay it back, there are two different feelings that these two individuals have. One group of people has such overwhelming feelings of indebtedness to the person that lent them the money, such overwhelming feelings of appreciation for the person that was so benevolent, that was so kind to them. So they say, look, I can't be ungrateful to them. I have to pay back on time because, after all, look at the chesed they did for me. Of course I have to pay them back on time. This is the date that they set to pay back the loan. That's what I have to do. The second person, says the Dubna Magid, when it comes the day to pay it back, says, look, I don't care too much about the fact he did me the favor. Okay, it helped me, but okay, he's a wealthy man. What did it mean to him? I have to pay him back on time because if I don't pay him back on time, the next time I need to borrow money from him, he's not going to want to give me. If I don't follow the rules, then the next time I'm in need, he's not going to have any interest in helping me out the next time that I come to him with a particular need that I have for my family. Says the Dubna Magid, what's the difference between those two people? In the end of the day, they both pay back. Difference is, what happens if the store owner closes up the shop? And now he's no longer the provider of all the needs of the community. What happens if the wealthy man now moves out of town? And he's not going to be here anymore. Person number one, says the Dibna Magid, feels so overwhelmingly grateful for the chesed that was done to him, he says, look, I don't care that he's no longer the provider. I don't care he has no money anymore. I don't care that he moved out of town. Look, he did a tremendous favor for me. I'm going to pay him back on time anyway. The second individual, who was only paying back on time because he felt, well, the next time I'm going to need him, he's not going to be there for me if I don't follow the rules. Well, now I'm going to come up with a justification, with an excuse. Well, what's the big deal? Maybe I'll rationalize that I can delay a little bit. Maybe I can postpone the payments. Maybe I don't have to do it on time. Maybe I can defer. Well, after all, he's not here in town anyway, and I'm not going to need him the next time. That's the difference between person A and person B, says the Dibna Magid. And here he explains what the pasuk means. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov, ki li'olam chasdo. We have a dual obligation of why we need to thank the Ribono shel Olam. Number one, Hodu l'Hashem, first and foremost, kito, because everything He gives us in our life is so incredibly special, is such a blessing. Just for that alone, we owe Him a tremendous debt of gratitude. But secondly, ki li'olam chasdo, because His kindness is something that we are going to eternally rely on. It's something that we are going to perpetually expect. It's something that's an enduring kindness. It's something that if we don't have it, if it's not provided for us, we're not going to be able to continue to sustain ourselves to live. So therefore, since this is an indefinite need that we have, ki li'olam chasdo, He is the sole provider of everything we have in our lives, and He will continue to be that for the rest of our lives. Therefore, we have that dual obligation. We are both of those people. On the one hand, we feel tremendous feelings of overwhelming gratitude to the Ribono Shel Olam for everything He gave us. But number two, we are thankful to Him because we know that in the future we need to rely on His assistance and everything that He gives us and provides us with in our most blessed lives. And therefore, says the Dibna Magid, that's what it means, Hodu l'Hashem ki tov, ki li'olam chasdo, the dual obligation that we have. And perhaps that's the understanding of the Gemara here as well. The Gemara says, not arba chayavim lahodos. The reason you have to say a berachas hagomel is not only because the chachamim imposed upon you to say a bracha when you go through this experience, but also it's arba tzrichim lahodos. You have an obligation to say it for yourself. Not that we imposed on you, it's that in your best of interest is to thank the Ribono Shel Olam and respond in a way that shows Him how thankful you are and how much you appreciate what He did, and that the next time you need a favor from Him, the next time you're in a bind, He's going to be very much willing to do it for you once again. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch.